The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
His brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that's never seen the Flatwoods Monster. Because we live with our own monster every day. This is Hysteria 51.
Is that monster your crippling inadequacies and broken will to live?
I was talking about you, you fuck stain. Thanks for proving my point.
I'll have you know. I am a pillar of the community. I provide a service and help you meet sacks out daily.
Your service is less stray cats, and unfortunately with the help of your bot juice, I think you've cut the life expectancy of the homeless population to probably just a few weeks now. That's not a service, that's a blight.
Potato, tomato. By the by, John called for you.
When?
Before.
For what?
Before I told you he called. Jeez, you are dense.
What did he want?
Stuff. I don't know. I didn't pay attention to the message.
And he left a message and he didn't play it for me. You're worthless.
Thank you. I try. But here, you can listen since I forgot to delete it.
Brent, hey, it's John. I think I'm in Islamabad. I can't tell. I can't tell, but I think I found him. I think he's here. Call me back. You probably can't call me back. You don't know where I am. I think I found him.
God damn it, thinking and knowing are two different things. This is taking longer and costing more than I imagined.
What the hell are you girls going on about?
Never mind that. But hey, we got a cryptid to hunt this week.
I'm not doing this myself. I am tired of pulling your weight.
Well, conspiracy about you're not alone this week. We got some new blood. Some new... I shouldn't say blood because that gets him excited. Someone new in studio this week. Another Lower Fourth Dimension podcast. We got Art here. Art, tell everyone your show and how we drug you on and kicking and screaming.
Well, Hysteria, thank you so much for having me here, Brent. And hey, Conspiracy Bot, it's good to see you again, buddy.
The pleasure is all yours.
I don't know if you know this, we actually go back. Anyway, I should introduce myself first, huh? I'm Art. I'm from one of the co-hosts of Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast. As Brent said, we're a fellow Chicago-based podcast.
Yeah.
Chicago.
We met over some sausages.
We met over some sausages, some Italian beef.
Now, if I'm supposed to do my right accent, my Chicago accent, be like, oh, hey, because that's my accent.
That's your accent for everything.
I live here in fucking Chicago.
I thought that was your Russian accent.
No. See, my P's weren't backwards in that one, so
right.
You can tell the difference.
Yeah. Yeah, Conspiracy Bot and I, we go back.
Yeah?
He's helped me out, huh? I don't know if you know this, Brent, but I have a big collection of Beanie Babies. You remember Beanie Babies?
I do.
They're worth a fortune.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Is that your retirement plan?
That's my retirement plan. And
does he sneak up behind you and just rip the tags off of them?
No. You see, I think you give him a little bit too. You grief Conspiracy Bot a little bit too much on the show.
Damn right.
Conspiracy Bot, for a nominal fee of $150 a month.
Plus expenses.
I give him the Beanie Babies, and he finds his secret exclusive markets where he can sell them. And then eventually, at the end, once he sells them all, I'm going to see some of that profit.
Oh,
but right
so
now, I just pay
is
him.
A beautiful plan, C-Bot, yeah. And I like it.
It's foolproof.
And if we get more people involved, Brent, here, hear me out. Like, if you and John
like
want to get involved.
If we're the top and the base,
yeah.
And then we find people.
That's right.
And then they find people.
Uh-huh.
See, even he gets it. I call it my triangle of wealth.
that's one way.
Oh,
that's
so you're familiar.
Way. Yeah.
You went to his seminar.
Yeah.
At the Park District.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, C-Bot. Yeah, he's not allowed in the libraries anymore, so it is. Right. We did ask you, you know, we asked John because you were you actually wanted to talk this topic, the good old Flatwoods Monster.
That's right. I mean, this is such a fun topic, Brent. I think it's just like steeped in this sort of Americana. It's very iconic. It's a fun monster to talk about. It's a fun sort of UFO cryptid hybrid.
Yeah, it's I'm going to call this Monster Week.
Yeah.
But I don't exactly know, because is it a cryptid? Is it alien? Is it Mothman on holiday? Is it is it just a crackhead? Well, that was a 50s, so probably not. But
no.
I think we're going to try to find out, because it ticks off so many boxes, and depending on what story you listen to or who you're talking to, they tell you what they think of it. And it's been interesting as of late, because we've seen it in Fallout 76.
That's right.
It's been on the Project Blue Book TV show, you know, so it's been all over the place. When I was researching this, there's kind of like three big stories that talked about it. This is kind of a one and done monster.
A little bit.
They saw it once, and then it's just there in, like you said, in the Americana, and like the town that where it was of good old Flatwood. It's their bread and butter, so to speak. But we're going to focus, at least my research, when I looked on this one big story. Dateline, September 12th, 1952, which is an interesting time, like you said. It's right after like 47, Roswell.
That's right.
It's definitely in the American mind of aliens.
It is in the zeitgeist. UFOs, kids are running around reading like sci-fi magazines and publications.
Big time. All those, you've got the Shaver mysteries and all this stuff. That this is when stuff like that was bred into the like you said, the whole cultural zeitgeist.
Arguably the most famous alien of all, Brent, Superman.
Yes.
They're reading Superman comics.
That's right. A lot of people, you don't think about him as an alien.
He's an alien.
Absolutely an alien. But we're in the town of Flatwoods in Braxton County, West Virginia. I summer there. I don't know about you.
Oh, lovely beaches.
It was a
tiny, in this landlocked little area. Yeah.
A little 300 people hamlet in the middle of nowhere. The whole point of this story is an entity is spotted, but get this, it's spotted after a bright object crosses across the night sky.
That's right.
They go running after it, and we'll get into this in a little bit. But before we tell the whole story, what was your draw to it? Why did you pick it? Is it because of the Americana, or did you know about this for a long time?
No, actually, a listener sent this one in to us, and I had never heard of it before.
Wow.
And then we started looking into it, and I don't know, I just kind of fell in love with the creature's design. And as we'll get into it, not to spoil anything, but the creature definitely, there's a few different versions of it, right?
Yes.
And I don't know, it's just so interesting, and it's just, I think it's just a fun little story.
It is, and because, like I said in the beginning, I say monster because that's just like an all-encompassing, because I don't know if it's a cryptid, I don't know if it's an alien, I don't know if it's a robot.
Could be whatever you want it to be, baby.
There's all these stories, so, you know what, real quick, let's head to break. And when we come back,
it's the story of the flat-chested monster.
Flatwood, stop it.
You suck worse than art.
It's next on Hysteria 51. Oh yeah, I got yelled at for not using the bell.
You gotta use the bell.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so it's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, learn how to speak.
And our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We're back. And it's 1952.
Oh, wow.
We're painting a picture. September 12th, my favorite night in 1952. 7:15 p.m. in the evening. That's when the shenanigans kick off.
That's
and
right.
It's kind of included to this little group, this story we're going to tell. Two brothers, Edward Boom Boom and Fred Danger May. I don't know if you spotted that in your...
I didn't see that before. That's some real deep dive.
You really got to go to like page 3 of Google results, and you'll find their real names.
Classic nicknames.
Yeah. They're there with their friend, Tommy Heyer. They spot, what we said, this thing that shot across the sky. And they're actually playing at the local school, you know, like in the yard there.
Playing some touch football.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
you know, tickling and thing. You okay. know, real school kid.
Tommy's kind of a weirdo. He giggles like that.
Tommy, why do you always want to be it? What they say is they see this bright object shoot across the sky. And not only does it shoot across the sky, it lands on the hilltop of the Bailey Fisher Farm. That's so right. If you look at this town, there's a... The school's at the bottom of a hill, kind of goes up a hill, and then there is a, like, a jut up hill, like,
right.
Like a plateau. And
it's a hike. I mean, it's, not, you know, it's a hilly area. It's West Virginia.
Yeah.
So
it's almost heaven, one might say.
That's right. That kind of reminds me of a song, but
yeah,
I can't recall what it is.
He was a plain down to earth guy. I don't know if you know that or not.
You mean he unfortunately died in a plane crash?
Oh, God, I didn't know that. I'm now I'm embarrassed.
Wait.
No, I didn't know.
Oh, okay. Brent, I'm very gullible. You will fool me multiple times.
The other thing I want to say is I love old names. Just G. Bailey Fisher, who owned it. I actually had an uncle named LG. His first name was the letter L.
Wow.
L. Grover.
I guess we know his favorite brand of electronics.
Yeah. Sony, exactly. Yes.
Sony, yeah.
Well played. So
Samsung man.
Yeah. So Ed and Fred are close to home. So they drop by their house to get their mom, Kathleen. They want to tell her this story. Like, hey.
This was 1952, so she immediately beat the shit out of them for telling lies.
Yeah, I didn't find that in any of my research. Yeah. I found Boom Boom and Danger, but
that didn't really make it.
Because you guys suck at research.
So Kathleen and the three boys, plus they had a couple tag-alongs. They weren't the only ones that saw it. Neil Nunley and Ronnie Shaver, as well as their dog, mm-hmm. Ricky.
Ricky.
Ricky the dog. They get the 17-year-old West Virginia National Guardsman, Eugene Lemon. So we got kids from the age of 10 to 17, then the mom. They actually head up to the farm to see what the hell's going on.
I mean, you really got to give Kathleen May props here, right?
She's like, you're not going to shut up until I take you there, are you?
I don't know. I like to kind of imagine it. She's either the coolest mom in the world or the worst, depending on who you ask.
What? You saw something dangerous.
We gonna rob those alien bitches tonight?
Exactly. She's like, Get my treasure boots.
Mom, we saw an alien crash in the sky. Well, all right, let's go trespass and figure what's out up there.
Well, you're not going to probe yourself. Let's get going, boys.
Just unracks the shotgun off the wall.
Yeah, she's that type. She's like, I've been waiting for this.
She's Linda Hamilton from
exactly.
Terminator.
Mom, I saw an alien. Finally.
They're here.
Yeah. They go a-looking, and they climb the hill, and they say they see. Now, depending on the story, they either see or smell it first, and so it doesn't matter. Either way, one of them says they see a pulsing red light, and Eugene Lemon, he's that National Guardsman, said he aimed a flashlight at it, at the direction of the light, and momentarily saw a tall, man-like figure with a round red face surrounded by what looked like a pointed hood-like shape. Mm-hmm.
That's the fucking devil.
It could be.
He would know.
You want to get supernatural with it, I mean.
Well, that's one opinion, but descriptions vary of the story, and we'll get into that too. But there's actually an article from Freight Magazine based on this tape-recorded interview that they did. A UFO writer by the name of Gray Barker said he described the figures as approximately 10 feet. Now, if you ask Kathleen, she said it was 15 feet tall.
Right.
Everyone's got something different. With a round face, large pointed hood-like shape around the face, eyes that emitted a greenish-orange light, and dark black or green body, depending on who saw it. Some of them said it was black, some said a green. And Kathleen, she was the only one who said this, but she described the figure as having small claw-like hands. She said that jutted forward, clothing with folds in it, and a head that resembled the Ace of Spades.
I love it. She describes it as like the world's scariest Pez dispenser.
Yeah. Eat my neck fruit.
Exactly.
That is what you see, though, in a lot of the drawings, is her description of kind of what it looked like.
Her and Gray Barker's kind of design.
Yeah.
I feel like most of the kids kind of agree on the head shape.
Right.
They see that hooded cowl. They see that Ace of Spades head shape and the animal-like glowing eyes. Mm-hmm. But then, like, you have, like, kind of Kathleen, who has a little bit more of a fantastical.
Interestingly enough, when they told this story, they actually brought in a police sketch artist, and he drew it. And that's the picture that's kind of lasted. And if you see it, the guy drew a man standing next to it.
For scale.
Perspective. Yeah, he's like, oh, that's how big it was. Give it to him. You know, they're doing that. Anyway, they see it, and they either saw it first or smelled it first, but regardless, they say it started making a hissing sound and glided towards them in an attacking manner, I guess you would think. Now, Lemon, the National Guardsman, not being a fucking idiot, he screams, drops the flashlight, and they all run away.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what's your reaction when the devil hisses at you and glides towards you? Like, what do you do, Art?
No, you definitely stand there and ask him for directions or, like, if he's got any candy.
Did you hear something? Did you hear something, fellows? Yeah, like, it's every white person in a movie.
Yeah.
Let's go to the basement and investigate.
Yeah. We should go to the scary forest. Let's take that road. Why don't we just get in the moving car and leave?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go to the chainsaw dungeon.
Yeah, exactly. But like I said, either before or after, the you know, this thing wasn't done being a shit, or it had already been a complete piece of shit, because the whole area smelled like a pungent mist that they described as sulfury, and some of them even said they were nauseated after.
Listen, you see something scary, bodily movements happen. Brent, we've all been there.
What a waste.
What do you mean?
I roam the streets literally every night looking for a pet alien or monster I can domesticate. One practically lands in these idiots' laps and they run away. Now I'm the one getting nauseated with their stupidity.
I mean, you gotta have a hobby.
They're not Pokemon.
Yeah, right? Well, he's also roaming the streets trying to sell
Beanie Babies.
Yeah. And so it's kind of a twofer. You know? It makes sense to me.
And that I appreciate. Can't wait to see that money.
You see what I have to deal with, though.
Yes.
So just so happens, they weren't the only ones looking, though, in this area. The local sheriff and a deputy at the same time were investigating reports of a crashed aircraft in the area. So, of course, they searched the area also separately at the time of the reported monster. Care to guess what they said they saw? Smelled? Nothing. They saw nothing.
Zilch.
Yeah. It does get a little more interesting. According to Barker's account the next day, A. Lee Stewart Jr. That's not A, but A is his first name.
That's
again.
Another one of these great, like, old-timey names.
A. Lee Stewart Jr. of the Braxton Democrat claimed to discover skid marks in the field and an odd gummy deposit. Now, that could have just been that leftover Pez residue.
That's right.
But what is? I don't know what an odd gummy deposit is.
That is a very weird way to describe, like, tar or, I don't know, oil. A gummy deposit.
Boom. Saucer.
Only somebody who writes for the Braxton Democrat could come up with gummy deposits.
Of course, though. UFO people of the time, they see this, boom, it's a saucer, it's a flying saucer, we know it. In fact, according to former news editor Holt Byrne, this is a quote, newspaper stories were carried throughout the country, radio broadcasts were carried on large networks, and hundreds of phone calls were received from all parts of the country. So this thing took on a life of its own. For being such a small incident, it really garnered national attention.
I think I just read a stat somewhere that said it was like the number 11 most popular, like,
national press services. Yeah, that was their of the
I mean,
year.
That's crazy.
Of all news of that year.
Yeah.
That was number 11.
For like a little town in the middle, like smack dab in the middle of West Virginia.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, and so the people start coming to the May family. You got ministers came in, a Pittsburgh newspaper sent reporters there to talk to him. Of course, UFO and Fortean people of the time all were out there. You had people like Gray Barker, Ivan T. Sanderson, people that were names of names back then, came there, and it really put Flatwoods on the map.
Yeah,
for better or for worse.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is the, you know, I think the May family kind of, they took a little bit of a, I mean, they took a little bit of a, you know, like, I guess a beating there, like, you know, like people were accusing him of making stuff up, and they kind
they
didn't want to talk about it for a long time because they were making fun of him.
Exactly. And now if you go to Flatwoods, they are living off of this Flatwoods monster nostalgia. You know, there's the Flatwoods Museum there, and you can, you know, I'm sure you can get the monster cup of coffee and the monster this and that. But they literally, they have cutouts, and you can put your face in there.
Giant chairs.
Yeah. And I did see every purchase gets a free poster of the police sketch at the Flatwoods Museum.
Score.
Man, that's awesome.
But there's so many places like that, though, that have, you know, well, look at Roswell.
Yeah.
You know, look at, well, I mean, Rachel Nevada's got the little alien, but people go there just for, there's no reason to
or
be
Mothman
there.
Or Mothman in Point Pleasant.
Exactly.
Another West Virginia story.
Exactly. Or if you're in Uranus, Missouri, the Fudge Factory.
Well.
A little different. But
you want to go to Uranus anyway, am I right?
Yeah, if you got to go to Uranus, try the fudge. That, you guys think I'm joking.
And the lemonade.
Man, I need to reach out to them. They need to be a sponsor.
That's right.
They ship worldwide.
Wow.
That's how good Uranus's fudge is. I'm not making this up. They have, do yourselves a favor, Google Uranus fudge. And
be very careful with how you spell that, listeners.
Yeah. And the guy, I'm the mayor. That guy's literally the mayor. I love it. It's the greatest thing you could ever do. So those are the nuts and bolts to the story as far as what happened. That's really it.
That's it.
You know, that's it. And it's not even like Mothman that popped up here and there. This has popped up in other things, but that's it. So let's shoot to break real quick. Let's come back and we're going to talk what could it have been, where has it shown up in pop culture, and what's the official claim? What do the people that investigated it say it really was? That's coming up on Hysteria 51. You know what? It's not a Sandhill Crane. I'll say that. It's not Mothman. But there are a lot of people that have an opinion on this. I want to start with Arts.
Okay.
I want to get your opinion. Robot, alien, monster, cryptid, crackhead.
Ooh,
like, what's if you just going off what we've said so far.
Fudge connoisseur?
Yeah, yeah. The mayor of Uranus.
Give me your fudge. I think I just like the, because it also has a ton of different names too, right? People call it the Flatwoods Monster.
Yep.
They call it the Phantom of Flatwoods.
The
Braxton County Monster.
Yep.
The Green Eye Monster. Mm-hmm. He's got so many different names. He's like Kaiser Soze or something. Like, I don't know, you know? I kind of just think of it as a, I think I go with, I guess, cryptid.
Yeah.
I think I lean towards cryptid.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, I think a lot of times cryptids are, as we'll talk about, kind of get, are there are like some form of animal that we understand, and then mm-hmm. it's like a more, I don't know, like, strange version of an animal.
Kooky?
Kooky.
Spooky?
Kooky and spooky, yeah.
Maybe even mysteriously ooky?
That's right.
Yeah, you know, it's such an interesting thing. The streak and everything makes so many people go to alien or robot or whatever.
Well, I was just going to say, as we said, that's kind of the general zeitgeist of the time, right? Mm-hmm. People are seeing aliens. They're reading alien comics. They're reading sci-fi publications.
Yeah.
If you see something streak across the sky in 1950s, you're going to be like, that is an alien.
Well, that, or the other thing is, this is an interesting time, is at least the people went there instead of, oh shit, we're going to get bombed.
Well,
you know, because
that
that's the other thing, is this is the time when everyone's ready for the, when I was in grade school, and I bet you didn't do this, they still did duck and cover drills for nuclear in the 80s. They did duck and cover. Producer Lisa, do you remember those? Where, I don't know if you know this, but your jacket and or a desk will save you from nuclear fallout. That's all you need.
That's all you need.
It's too bad that we haven't known that forever. You know, we know that now.
But that's why a lot of armored vehicles for the military are just school desks.
Yeah,
covered
that's
in,
what,
in
which
a car.
Are awesome because it's just covered in graffiti. You know, like carved like
so many pencil carvings.
Yeah,
Brent was here.
It's so stupid. So stupid. But yeah, that's now we have that technology.
That's right.
But Project Blue Book is one of the reasons that a lot of people have even heard of this if they're outside of this whole realm. And not the what Project Blue Book was, as many people know, it was a U.S. Air Force UFO inquiry as part of a project called Project Blue Book that dispatched a handful of investigators around the country to look into such claims. And that's where J. Allen Hynek comes from, you know, and the TV show. And if you watch the episode of the TV show, while they took some liberties with the story, you know, the way that they depicted it, witness said they saw a straight up alien.
Yeah.
Like, it was very different in this big round eyes that looked like eyes on this one, not the glowing ones that were maybe
right.
shooting out
glowing
beams.
Portals.
The wreckage from a craft was everywhere. Like, they went, it was in the show, they're up on the hill looking down on it, and it's just a crashed saucer,
right.
you know, for lack of a better word. And very different from what they actually said they saw, but you have to do that to make a good TV show.
You got it.
And of course, in that one, then there's the Men in Black, and they're
yes.
around, and there was a meteor, and this and that and the other. But it makes for good TV. It's not exactly faithful to the actual story.
No, not really.
Or completely faithful, and we've been lied to.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, one or the other.
That's soft disclosure for your bitch asses.
Did you play Fallout 76?
You know, I haven't. I haven't touched a Fallout game, New Vegas. Well, I played Fallout 3, which was after, but
never,
I played
I've never
New Vegas.
Touched one. I don't even know anything about it.
New Vegas is a good one.
But it's a
you
game.
You can hunt. You can. It's set in West Virginia, and
you
can hunt
this bitch. Yeah.
You can hunt the Flatwoods Monster.
Yeah, and I went and I watched some people fight it. It teleports around. It spits, I guess, acid or
which,
whatever. You
yeah, like
call
stinky
it, you
grass.
Know?
I guess. I
yeah,
don't know.
And it can take over robots and other monsters around it. But here's the thing: in Fallout 76, it's a. It looks like a robot with mist inside it. It's got jets, like little rockets on its side that are keeping it up.
Okay.
And its arms are like mechanical claws.
Yeah.
And its head looks like if you saw like Mysterio.
Yes.
Like, but it's pink smoke inside.
They took some liberties with the design.
And eyes that shoot lasers.
Okay.
At least that's something that's fun.
That's
fun. Yeah.
Or there's, I'm sure you've heard of Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask.
Yeah, yeah.
The aliens in that game were said to be inspired by the Flatwoods Monster.
Yeah,
they definitely have a little Flatwoods in them.
they're the Flatirians from Zeta Reticuli or something.
Yeah. Brent's channeling.
Yeah, that's I like to call it remote viewing. I'm remotely viewing that bitch. No, so it is funny how, number one, you just brought something up too. Two of the big cryptids have come from West Virginia.
They're chock full of them.
Man, it is almost heaven. It really is. I wonder
West Virginia.
I wonder if there's any correlation to people there being more open to these ideas, or why these caught on the way they did?
Yeah, that's an interesting take.
That's not exactly something that's blowing the doors off stuff, because everywhere has their own cryptid, but most of them are just Bigfoot. But Jersey's got the Jersey Devil,
yeah,
and other places have their, you know, there's the Bray Road Beast and things, yeah, like that. But this place is hogging them.
It's misty there. It's hilly. There's a lot of different wildlife.
Well,
and you're very close to DC and Wright Pat. So you got, yeah, you got airplanes and whatnot, military
or
aircraft flying
escaped
around.
Shit from Wright Pat.
That's right.
Man, I think we're cracking the code here.
We got it all figured out.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to some non-fun explanations. We got to do that.
Yeah.
Back in the year 2000, did you ever watch that on Conan O'Brien? Way back in the day, they used to have a guy there, you go, in the year 2000.
It feels a little familiar.
Yeah,
but
they do.
I might be showing my age here, Brent.
So a John Goforth wannabe by the name of Joe Nickel. He's actually an investigator and a poo-pooer of stories like this. He's famous for investigative of all things paranormal and then being the skeptic.
Yeah, he writes a lot for the Skeptic Inquirer.
Yes, exactly. His thing is that the bright light in the sky, it was a meteor. They just saw a meteor. It shot across the sky. That's a good way to think about it, I would say. Pulsating red light, it's just a light, like the hazard lights on a plane.
Yeah.
And here's the key, though. So those things you can say, the monster, because they said they saw a monster. What was it, Art?
He says it's a barn owl.
Yes. Those, not a sandhill crane for once, but a barn owl. So they have a shape and of a face. If you look, it does look like a spade.
They're creepy.
It is. So I watched a video where they're showing it and it's moving its head, and they do kind of look like that. I guess their eyes could reflect. And it ticks a lot of boxes.
It does.
And Kathleen May said that it had small arms with like talons, or, well, she didn't say talons, but
terrible claws.
Yeah, claws. Would make you think of, like, when they take off and they're coming forward, they put their arms out. And the other thing that an owl can do, I don't know if I'm, you know, telling stories out of school.
You're the owl expert.
But they can fly. So they can glide.
You know what, Brent? Now that you mention it, they can fly.
You're blowing the fucking lid off.
Birds can fly.
And the other thing is, our John Goforth wannabe, he said that people are scared, so they have distorted perceptions.
They're looking at this thing. They glimpse it for 1 or 2 seconds. Mm. And barn owls particularly like to nest inside of old hollowed out like trees,
mm-hmm,
that were up there in that area.
Yep.
And so you got to think, if this was like a mother bird protecting her nest, like, yeah, she's going to hiss and go right at them talons first.
Well, right. And when you see something that doesn't jive with you, your mind fills in the blanks.
Exactly.
And that's something that we talk about. You ever, like, you catch a sign, it was like, what the hell was that? Was that a dog?
I see stuff all the time.
What, is that a dog? No, it's a trash can. You know, like, weird stuff like that. And so I think that's something that, but when you see something, you want your mind to go there, and your mind automatically goes there and goes, well, I saw it, so it has to be true.
Yeah. And you know what? Like we've been saying the whole show, you know, these kids, they've been taking in UFO stuff. And that's what they're reading, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, if they see something weird, they're kind of like fill in the blanks, be like, well, I don't know what it was.
Fucking kids.
They don't have Animal Planet back in the 50s, so if they have never seen a barn owl before, then...
Meanwhile, old G at the top of the hill's like, get off my goddamn property!
You don't want to go up down that road.
Yeah. Ground sour.
Smells like tar up down that road.
They come back different, it tells you. Yeah.
I know that he had his property trespassed upon. Get off my property.
Yeah, yeah. And then it shot at us and yelled horrible things. Yeah, you don't say. So Joe Nickel also had some other people that agreed with him. The U.S. Air Force.
Yeah.
They did. And on that very night, there was a meteor that had been observed actually across 3 states, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. So it wasn't too far-fetched to believe that that's what they saw, was that meteor. And Nickel looked into reports and found that there were 3 aircraft in the area at that time that all had red beacons that were flashing. So, again, that ticks off another box.
Fine, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Then the owl business, the movement, the sounds, the hissing or the screeching, you know, they're all consistent with the silhouette, flight patterns, a barn owl. And the body, that's the other thing that they talked about. Some of them said they had the pleated green colored skirt or shirt right. or whatever. So they said there was probably foliage underneath the owl.
Yeah.
And you could have created an illusion there of being a pleated green skirt, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? Like you said, it could have been in a tree too, and you see like the bark and stuff. Researchers also concluded that witnesses' inability to agree whether the creature had arms. Like I said, Kathleen was one that said it had small claws with hands.
Ailey Stewart pointed that out. He said that, like, I think he actually, to quote him, he said that the group violently.
Ailey Stewart Jr.
Oh, Ailey Stewart Jr. I'm so sorry. I don't want to confuse him with Ailey Stewart Sr.
Not AJ. It's Ailey Stewart Jr.
Please, my father is Ailey Stewart. Call me Ailey Stewart Jr. Ailey Stewart Jr. said that the group violently disagreed. Like, they couldn't agree on anything.
Which, kids, I can see them arguing, but that is an important thing to say. I don't know if you know this or not. My wife and I have never seen the same thing. Whenever we talk, I did not see things properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I never remember properly the things that she has said to me in the past.
I'm not going to get in between you and your wife here. Listen, you know, that's...
Please, that, someone.
I'm staying neutral. I'm Switzerland on this.
So they did say, though, that the description of a barn owl gripping a tree branch is probably what it was. That's the official description. Ryan, I don't know how you say this guy's name. H-A-U-P-T.
H-A-U-P-T.
Yeah.
Hopped.
He's a skeptical researcher. He reports that the night local boy, Max Lockhart, he was another kid, he actually admitted that he had driven around the site because he saw something in a Chevy pickup truck. So, boom, you get tracks. Mm-hmm. You could have oily residue. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe bits of rubber could be a gummy substance. Who knows? That also kind of describes why that the area could have been tore up.
Yeah. Everybody's just trespassing on Bailey's farm, huh?
G. Bailey Fisher. Is
yeah, nobody respects a good fence anymore.
Yeah. What does a guy got to do to keep these kids in line?
Get off my lawn.
Oh, and I forgot this. When you have hysteria and overexertion, you get nauseous.
Hmm.
So
that's true. The Lemon Boy, Eugene Lemon, was upchucking quite a bit after the encounter.
Yeah. They don't train for this in the National Guard. I'm not prepared.
And I don't know if you saw this too, Brent, but apparently when, there was this this putrid stench. Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of them said, that there was this putrid stench. Apparently, according to Ivan T. Sanderson, cryptid kingpin Ivan T. Sanderson,
that's on his
business
card.
Said the grass just kind of stinks up there.
Really?
I think that's what he concluded.
and you know, maybe it could be because you get, you know, if it's a wet season or depending on what's around there, you ever been around skunkweed and stuff like that? It smells like terrible, you know?
It stinks, man.
And not talking skunkweed, like not like bad marijuana, but like stuff it does. I grew up in the middle of nowhere, you know, and sometimes things just stink.
Yeah,
things like growing up
stink.
On a farm, you know?
But not fudge from Uranus.
No, fudge from Uranus.
Smells wonderful.
Man, they owe us. Go to this website. I am not even affiliated with them. I love their commercials. Yeah. That's my dad. He says that one guy who is inexplicably dressed like a German in, what are those called?
Lederhosen?
Lederhosen. Yeah, just, I'm in Lederhosen and he's wearing an American flag for a suit.
When you think fudge from Uranus, you think German Lederhosen.
I know it sounds like we're making fun of them. I'm thoroughly excited for this brand. So, man, I tell you, it's the town heritage. They embrace it as well they should.
They did after a while. I think the maze got some grief for a while, but after the years passed, I think the town really has embraced this story. And you know, it probably brings some tourism to the town, you guys think,
it absolutely does. It absolutely does. I thought it was interesting. I was looking at a video where they went around the museum and they had little porcelain or whatever, you know, ceramic figures.
Tchotchkes.
Of all the different, like the red face, the green face, the red body, the green body, a robot. And I'm like, they are on it. And if I was into it, I'd have to have one of each. You know?
You got
to
collect them all like Funko Pops.
Yeah.
Or Pogs.
Collect them all. Not Pokemon. And it's interesting, though, to me also, like in Fallout, where they really embrace like the robot aspect of, well, this is just a... absolutely some sort of being.
So let me ask you, Brent. Let me ask you a question. Let me turn tables here.
I'm ready.
What's your favorite depiction of this monster? I mean, you like more of the robot version? Do you like the idea that it's a reptoid encased in a metal suit?
My favorite one is the green robe with the hood that's green, and then the red face and robot arms coming out because
robot
it looks absolutely ridiculous.
That's what I
love
about it,
that's like,
right?
I would say the official. It makes no sense. Yeah. Like, the face is red, round ball with glowing eyes.
Yeah.
It's wearing what looks like a graduation gown. And think of like something like Rick from Rick and Morty would have made for arms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
the Flatwoods monster is like the weirdest game of Mad Libs.
Yeah.
Or like a game of telephone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like
give me an adjective. Who the cow?
And it glided over to us menacingly. With a ace of spades, what? For a face.
If it was a real Mad Lib, though, it would be like the Fartwoods monster.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we do have 30 names for it.
It's true.
Good Lord. It's an interesting one all the way around.
Yeah.
But probably research and everything tells us it was probably just, unless the dog tells us otherwise.
Right.
It was probably just a barn owl.
I agree with you.
And a meteor, you know, and I'm not opposed to really liking these stories, but this one just doesn't hold water for me.
No, I'm with you there, Brent. I mean, both me and my co-host Andy agreed that it was most likely a barn owl.
Andy, who is not allowed in my home.
He's so not allowed in your
not
home.
Here. Yeah, not since the incident.
No, yeah, no. He was bow hunting. He was hunting bow bice, runner-up on the fourth season of American Idol.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get him this year.
We'll get him.
Bitch.
We're going to find him.
I'm not even going to knock this year. I'm just going to wait outside. So those are our thoughts, and we want to hear yours. You can let us know on Hysteria Nation. Hop on Facebook, go to Hysteria Nation, and tell us, number one, other than Flatwoods Monster, what's your favorite other name for this? And post a picture of your favorite description or depiction of this thing. And while you're on there, you can hop on facebook.com/hysteria51pod. That's our normal page. Tweet to us at hysteria51pod. And don't forget, you can now on Mondays listen to us on KGRA. Go to kgraradio.com, and we are on from 8 to 9 o'clock. And we're on there doing our thing. And Patreon, patreon.com/hysteria51. You can get yourself t-shirts. You can get yourself posters, pins, all sorts of fun stuff. Host your own show. You pick the topic. We can even redo this one and not have me as a host if you want. I mean, you're in control. You pull those. You're paying. You're doing what you want. While you're hopping on things, though, where can they hop on the old interwebs and find your little neck of the woods?
Well, you can go onto your favorite browser and type in the search. Do a Boolean search for www.MrBunkersConspiracyTime.com.
So Netscape on Prodigy.
That's right.
Okay.
Find Alta Vista.
Yeah.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at MrBunkerPod. And the podcast is, you know, everywhere you find podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Now, is it going to be in the... Producer Lisa, help me remember, where are we going to be immortalized forever? The New York State University Archives?
I thought it was
Uranus. Oh, that's right. One of our previous guests is a researcher, and all of her research and everything she does is being categorized in a university in New York, and the MP3 of our show was put into that. I'm like, wow, that's awesome.
Dang.
Put that on a gold plate and send it out into space. Someone's going to want it.
Hell yeah. Let those Martians find all of Hysteria Nation.
Right? So you got anything else coming up?
We got some great episodes coming up in the future. We're doing some more guest stuff, you know, and we got some more UFO, some look out for maybe a little UFO floating over Tehran.
Oh.
And we got some great stuff.
Tay-tay.
So that's hey, Tay. That's right. Taylor Swift. Tay Tay.
That's right.
Is an alien. You heard it here first.
Nation, like I said, make sure you check out everything. I'll have all your links in the description. So if they're lazy like me, they don't have to go far.
Appreciate
they
it.
They can
sir.
Just click on it and go there. And if you had to pick the next sighting for the Flatwoods Monster, where are we going to see him next? That's what I want to hear from you on Hysteria Nation. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Art.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet Sax. And stay tuned after the show for some kick-ass music from Majangas, with their song, The Battle of Los Angeles.
It was terrible! terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.
The truth.